We are going to talk today of something we haven't talked about before, but it is a question that comes up all the time, so I just want to spend a moment or two addressing it, and that is a law that pertains to going to the mikvah. There is a law that women go to the mikvah at certain points, and to go to the mikvah, there is another law that there is not allowed to be any barrier between one's body and the body and the water that one is immersing themselves in. Okay, so this is a biblical law. Biblically, there is something called a chatzitza, which means something which is, again, a barrier, something which is chotzeitz between the body and the water. And it's crucial that when we are using a mikvah, that the water comes into contact with the entire body. This is true, by the way, not just with immersing people's bodies, when we immerse our bodies, but also when we immerse utensils. When we immerse utensils, there's also the same type of principle that the entire item has to be immersed. There cannot be any barriers. That's why it's important when people go to a mikvah to make sure there are no stickers on the utensil and things of that nature. Now, biblically, in order for something to be a chatzitza, in order for something to be a barrier, it has to be on the majority of one's body, and one has to care about it. We'll define what care about it means. But rabbinically, even if it's not on the majority of one's body, even if it's just a small amount, just a small item, okay? But as long as one cares about it, which again we'll define right now, then that is considered a barrier, a chatzitza, and would invalidate the immersion. Okay, so what does it mean to care about something? So the way it's defined, classically defined, care about it means that if it's something that you want to remove, in other words, if I notice this thing, I would say, oh, I don't want this here. I would take it off of me, right? So that means I care about it, right? Not care about it would mean that it's irrelevant to me. If I see it, I'd be like, eh, I don't care. And if I do notice it, I wouldn't care to remove it. That's the definition of caring about something. Now, the Ramah, the halachic authority for Ashkenazim, suggests, he goes so far as to say that even if something technically wouldn't be considered a barrier, so for example, it's something which is very loose-fitting. So if something is very loose-fitting, technically it's not a barrier, but the accepted norm is that we do not immerse with such a thing, even if it's a very loose type of item which wouldn't technically qualify as a barrier, we still do not immerse with it. That's how stringent we are when it comes to barriers. Okay, so those are all words of introduction. Let's try to apply that to nail polish, because this question comes up all the time, is does a person have to remove nail polish before immersing in a mikvah? So, the beginning of this discussion is what we just said, but also another important source, something that is stated, something that the Rashba, one of the great medieval commentators, wrote in a responsa. He said as follows. He said that in his world, in his time, women would dye their hands for beauty, probably something like a henna or something like that. And he said that is not considered a barrier. That is not a chatzitza. Why? And he gives two reasons, so we have to listen closely. The first reason, he says, it's meant to beautify them. They put this paint on their hands in order to beautify themselves, and they're careful not to remove it. On the contrary, they want it to remain there, right? So the whole idea of a chatzitza was it's something which I don't want there. It's a barrier because it doesn't belong there. But if it belongs here, I want it here, that would not be a barrier. Also, he adds, he says, v'od, in addition, the color has no tangible substance, okay? So again, he's probably talking about something like a henna of some sort, which it doesn't really have any, you touch it, you feel your hands, you don't really feel something, or maybe you feel some, maybe you feel, but it doesn't really, it's not really elevated from the skin, okay? So let's try to see if this applies to nail polish. So in terms of a person wanting it to be there, well, it does apply. That heter, that leniency certainly does apply, because a woman who has nail polish wants nail polish to be there. On the contrary, they don't want to remove it. You want the nail polish to be there. That's why you put it on your fingers, right? Or fingernails. But in terms of it having no tangible substance, that really does not seem to apply to nail polish, right? Because nail polish, as opposed to something which is ink or dye on one's skin, okay? But nail polish, that is tangible. That is something which is a clear elevation off the skin. It's small, it's thin, it's a very, very thin elevation, but it is clearly a tangible substance. And so for this reason, the Ashkenazic custom is to remove nail polish before going to immerse in a mikvah. Now, what often comes up is a new type of, not so new anymore, but a different type of nail polish, and that is a gel manicure. Gel manicures are very hard to remove. I've never gotten one, but I've been told, and I've seen, they are very, very hard to remove. So what happens then? Let's say a person has a gel manicure, and based on what we just said you should not have nail polish on when immersing in a mikveh. So ideally, I would always recommend, if possible, to schedule, you know, if a person has a regular scheduling of manicures, to try to schedule it after immersing for this reason. But if, for whatever reason, a woman does have a gel manicure, and it's extremely hard to remove. To remove nail polish, again, I also haven't done that, but I've helped my daughters remove theirs. And okay, it's not fun, it's not a party, but it's removable. It's something which could be done. But when it comes to gel manicure, it's very, very difficult to remove, especially shortly after it was done. So in such a case where a person, for whatever reason, has a gel manicure, it is extremely hard to remove. So in order to, one does have what to rely upon to immerse with a gel manicure, with the following condition, and that is that they touch it up. In other words, if it is to a point where it starts chipping, and it therefore it comes, now we're in like a quasi, do I want it still, or am I in the process of removing it, right? Because at some point in the process, if it chips enough, then I'm now in the process of, well, I want to remove this manicure so that I could get another one, right? So once it starts chipping, we get into this tricky territory. And so in order to ensure that we don't have any issues, what a person should do in such a case is fill it in to ensure that it gets filled up, that you don't see any visible chips, and you fix it up, you touch it up, and that way we could basically, the argument is that this is something you want on your body, a woman wants on her nails. She doesn't want to remove it, and therefore going back to that Rashba, at least part of the Rashba's rationale, that this is not a chatzitza, again, it's something I don't want here. My nails, when they're perfectly done, I certainly want them there. That's why I made them up, right? So in a situation where I could touch them up and now they look as perfect as could be, or from a distance they look as perfect as can be, then a person would have what to rely upon to go to the mikvah in that case. Okay, again, we try to schedule things differently so that we don't run into this issue. If it's regular nail polish, ideally the Ashkenazic custom is to remove the nail polish. All that said, with all things, certainly speak to your local Orthodox rabbi, and I cannot endorse enough, and I've done so in the past, I want to do so again, and that is the Yoetzet website, yoetzot.something. It's an excellent, excellent resource. It is an excellent resource, and if they don't address your question, and they probably do address many questions that do come up, you could ask them questions. They will respond to the questions. It is just an excellent resource, which is sometimes underutilized in our community, and I just want to make sure that people are aware of it. Okay. Thank you for joining. Have a fabulous, fabulous day, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thanks so much. Take care. Take care. Bye-bye.